I'd like to extend a special welcome to those of us here with the Growing in Grace Ministry. Please feel welcome. I know we've got things set up a little bit different than usual, but still feel welcome. This is your home as well as those of everyone else. Those who are regulars with GIG are used to seeing me in a variety of different costumes. I'm going to play it pretty straight tonight, though. I think you'll understand. I'd like to pick up and read the last portion of our Psalm 103 again. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so is his mercy great upon those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. As a father cares for his children, so does the Lord care for those who fear him. For he himself knows whereof we are made. He remembers that we are but dust. In contrast to God's perfect memory, our human memories are both unreliable and even treacherous. We forget the things that we want to remember, and we remember the things that we want to forget. I will confess to you, I have a terrible memory for names. The only thing that saves me at GIG is the name tags. You guys, thanks for wearing them when you do. I would say that I'm the worst with names, but a few weeks ago, a friend of mine confided to me that once when he was trying to introduce his wife, he forgot her name. Now, I've never forgotten my wife's name, so I'm not the worst. Yet, several years ago, when I was serving as a medical missionary in Kenya, I attended a meeting at a local conference center. And at this meeting, we had doctors and nurses from almost 30 different hospitals, church and mission hospitals throughout the country. Now, I had visited all of these hospitals, and so most of them knew me, but it was a real challenge to try and remember who was whom and where they were from. And throughout the meeting, people would come up and say, "Doctari Smith, don't you remember me?" And so I would say very politely, "Yes, I remember you, but please kindly remind me of your name." Because I did recognize them. I knew I had met them. I just couldn't remember their name. At one of the breaks, a Kenyan woman came up to me and greeted me, and she looked very, very familiar, and I assumed she was part of the meeting. What I didn't know at the time was that there was another meeting going on, and so as I talked to her, I couldn't remember which hospital she was from, and after a few minutes, she stopped and she said, "You don't remember who I am, do you?" And of course, I used my line, "Yes, I remember you, but please remind me of your name." She said, "I'm your pastor's wife. And you had dinner at my house last night." It's impossible to recover from that. And so as much as I would love to forget that incident, it will probably be with me for the rest of my life. We remember what we would like to forget: an embarrassing moment, an unkind word, the betrayal of a friend. We forget what we'd like to remember. What did I come into this room to do? Where are my car keys? And what's the name of this person I'm trying to introduce? As faulty and frail as our memories are, though, what and how we remember defines the narrative of our lives. It's what describes our story. I like to read biographies, but not all biographies are created equally. Some are good and some are bad. The biographies that I end up not liking very much are just sort of a laundry list of events and accomplishments. A really well-written biography selects events from an individual's life and explains their meaning so that we understand what motivated that person, and even better, universal lessons about God and about our human existence. Our lives are like those biographies. It's the meaning and interpretation of the events of our lives that create our story. the lessons of our lives are encapsulated in what we choose to remember and what we choose to forget. We can remember an event with fear and bitterness, or we can remember it with faith and hope. It's those memories, what we choose to remember, what we choose to forget, that create our story. So as we enter into this season of Lent, Lent is a season of prayer and repentance. But I would also like to present it to you as a season of remembering and forgetting. So I'm going to give you three things to remember, and I'm going to give you three things to forget. Okay? First, remember God's love and forgiveness, especially, particularly in the finished work of Christ. God sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. God's love and forgiveness we must never forget. Second, the truth of God's word. Remember God's love and forgiveness, and we remember the truth of God's word. Psalm 119:49 says, "Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope." In 2002, my father was diagnosed with terminal liver cancer. My wife and I were living in Kenya at the time, and we made the decision to come home and be with him for his last days in this earthly life. So we were with him for about 2 months before he passed away. The morning of the day that he finally passed away, he woke up that morning and he told my mother, "Today is going to be the day." Well, my dad had a little bit of a flair for the dramatic, and I wasn't sure that it really worked that way, but we dutifully all gathered around his bed to hear whatever he had to say to us. And as he looked at each of us in the face, in the eyes, you could tell from his face he had so much that he wanted to share with us and tell us, but not the time or energy to do so. And after seeing the struggle on his face for a few moments, finally relaxed, and he said, just read the Bible. It's all there, everything you need. And that's true. That's true. The truth of God's word is a potent antidote to the lies of the devil, to the vanities of this world, and to the deceitfulness of sin. The truth of God's word. Remember God's love and forgiveness. Remember the truth of God's word. And third, remember that we are but dust. The Book of Common Prayer says, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And as we come shortly and have the imposition of the ashes for Ash Wednesday, we'll have those words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Well, what does it mean to remember that you're dust? Does that mean to think of yourself as the dirt bag you really are? Well, in part it is. True humility leads to repentance. And some of us here are very familiar with the 12 steps, but for those of you who are not so familiar with this spiritual discipline, I would like to read to you a slightly adapted version of the first 7 steps, because they are a good pattern for us for leading from humility to repentance. And perhaps I would present to you a good exercise for this Lenten season. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over our sin and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, and we know that that power is the Lord Jesus Christ. 3, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him, understanding that all of us have an incomplete understanding of the Almighty. 4, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Well, remembering that we are but dust is more than just seeing ourselves as the dirtbag we are. There's more to it than that. Remembering that we're dust reminds us of how God created us in the beginning. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." Remembering that we are but dust reminds us that it's God who gives us the breath of life, that apart from him, we can do nothing. We cannot even breathe a breath without that being a gift from God. Second, remembering that we are but dust reminds us of God's message of discipline, but also mercy to Adam after the fall, after he sinned. "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Remembering that we are but dust reminds us that our lives on this earth are very brief, so we must be mindful of our days. Psalm 90 says, "Teach us to number our days that we can present to you a heart of wisdom." James in the New Testament says, "Our lives are a vapor." Our lives are so brief and fleeting. So we need to be mindful and watch how we walk. Don't take these days for granted. Remembering that we are but dust also connects us to the promise, to God's covenantal promise that began with our forefather in faith, Abraham. In Genesis chapter 13, God said to Abraham, "I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted." Well, you can't count the dust of the earth any more than you can count the sand on the seashore or the stars in the sky. Galatians 3:29 says, "Those who belong to Christ are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." We are heirs of the promise that God gave to Abraham. We are children of faith, children of promise. And that's also what it means to be made of dust. Okay, so we've got what to remember. We remember God's love and forgiveness. We remember the truth of God's word, and we remember that we are but dust. How do we do that? How do we remember? Well, part of remembering is paying attention, which is so hard for us many times to do. By paying attention, I mean not just giving a piece of our mind. God created us body, mind, and spirit. And when we bring all those together and focus on these truths, we're a whole lot more likely to remember them than if we just give a part. I remember the day that I first kissed my lovely wife, Kim, and told her I loved her. I remember it like it was yesterday, but if you tried to ask me what I ate for dinner a week ago, it'd be hopeless, okay? I was a lot more fully engaged with that first experience than I was with dinner last week. Now, some of you are much more into what you eat. My father, food was almost like a spiritual experience for him, and he could tell you in great detail what he ate 20 years ago at a particular meal. I don't invest as much into my dinner. Second, to remember, a key is to repeat, to revisit, to renew. Our daily devotions are an opportunity for us to come to the Lord, to come to his word, to remind ourselves of these truths, to remind ourselves of God's love, to remind ourselves of who we are. Our weekly worship service, especially the liturgy, is a reminder. When we come together for communion, it reminds us of God's love and forgiveness in what Jesus Christ has done for us. His body, his blood given for us. When we read the word, it reminds us of the truth of God's word. And when we say the confession together, it reminds us that we are but dust and we're in need of God's forgiveness. The liturgical calendar is another way that we can remind ourselves of what we need to remember. And Lent, as a season, is a time for us to focus on God's love and forgiveness, on the truth of His Word, and especially on who we are before Him, that we are but dust that's loved and forgiven. Okay, I said I would give you three things to remember and three things to forget, and I haven't forgotten the three things to forget. Okay, the first thing that we need to forget is the guilt of our iniquities. That's a big word for saying the things that we've done wrong, those defects of character, right? Those are things we need to forget. As we read in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our sins from us. God's removed them. In Jeremiah 31, verse 34, it says, I will forgive your iniquity, and I will remember your sin no more. It's out of God's mind. Let's let it be out of our mind as well. Forgive and forget. Since we have been forgiven, since we've received God's grace and mercy, the second thing we need to forget is the offenses of others, okay? The things they've done to us, okay? To let them go. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who have transgressed against us. As God has forgiven us, we forgive others. As we experience freedom in Christ, the freedom of true forgiveness, then we can let these other things slip away and slip into a sweet forgetfulness of the offenses of others and just live our lives without those burdens. So, forget our own guilt, forget the offenses of others, and the third thing that we need to forget is all desires that draw us from the love of God. As the Book of Common Prayer puts it, the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience of our lives. These are the things that distract us, that take us away from our undivided attention to God. So, how do we forget? As it turns out, intentionally forgetting is actually harder than intentionally remembering. Now, it's easy to forget when you don't want to, but when you're trying to forget something, it's almost impossible to do, right? So, first thing is, fully embrace forgiveness. It said, forgive and forget. Dwell on that forgiveness that we've received from God. That lets us let the other stuff go. The second is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. When you look into the eyes of your lover, everything else disappears, right? Everything else is forgotten. In the same way, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. To use a different metaphor, attune our ears to His voice. When I was younger, I liked to play trumpet. I was really into trumpet. And whenever I'd listen to a piece of music, I'd listen for the trumpet part. So I could listen to, you know, almost any kind of music, and all I would hear is the trumpet part. That kind of attuning our ear to God's voice. Psalm 95 says, today if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. They recognize my voice. Think of a child who hears his mother's voice in a crowd, listens to nothing else, runs straight to mom. Let's be like that. We can be like that, we can forget these other things that we need to forget. For these intractable desires, though, these cravings, these desires that draw us away from the love of God, though, we may need a more radical approach. We need to consciously put away old loves, these things that take us away from the love of God. When I was in medical school, I met my wife, Kim. She wasn't my wife then. We were good friends. We weren't romantically involved at that time, but we were growing in our friendship. And then one day, an old girlfriend of mine moved back into town, someone I had dated in college. And first it was a phone call, and then it just stopped by to visit. Before long, she wanted to talk about our feelings. Well, I had a choice at that point. it was going to be impossible to grow this friendship with Kim unless I was willing to put away this old love. In the same way, there are many things in our lives that we need to put away so that we can grow in our love for Jesus. And that's part of what we do during this season of Lent. We give things up. We put things away. We put things on for Lent. And Lent is indeed a season of repentance and prayer. But these things that we give up for Lent, these distractions that we temporarily set aside so that we can grow more deeply into the love of God, these things help us to remember and they help us to forget. As we approach this Lenten season, I pray that it would be for you a season of repentance and prayer, but also a season for remembering and forgetting. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Repent and believe the gospel. Amen.
Amen.